Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
I just really want to thank God for my salvation, for the life that He has given me. That when I was 16 years old, I didn't have much of a life. I didn't have much of a future. But yet God stepped in and He called my name. He placed His hand on my life. And He has done something in my life that I could never have done for myself. No matter how hard I tried, no matter how much I would have worked at it, God has done things that have completely blown my mind. And as we continue to turn there to Proverbs 18, I want to thank God for our pastors, Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky. Amen. For their faithfulness, for their wisdom. Amen. For their humor, for everything that they walk with. Amen. It's encouraging. Amen, to see their lives and to be able to look at people and say, you know what? Not that I want to be exactly like them, but I want to follow them. I want to learn from them, and it's not everywhere you go that you can have that. And also, I want to thank God for my family this morning. And today, the giant that we're going to slay, and the title of this message, if you're making notes, is Slaying the Giant of an Untamed Tongue. Let me say that again, Slaying the Giant of an Untamed Tongue. And in Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says this, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Let me say it one more time, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." You know, today's message is about more than just trying to work out whether you speak life or death. Today's message is about more than trying to work out whether we have a positive language or a negative language. It's about more than that old saying that says, if you've got nothing good to say, say nothing at all. How many people used to get told that? If you've got nothing positive to say, just... Well, this message is about more than that. This message is about learning to live with a tongue that blesses, a tongue that builds, a tongue that adds life to those around us, a tongue that can speak the things that aren't as if they are. Today's word is about more than just eliminating negative, but it's about learning to walk in the blessing and the calling and the purpose that God has given us. It's about having life at the very midst of our lips. You see, God attaches great significance to remembering. And this morning's message is maybe nothing new. It may be something you've heard about, something you've thought about. It might even be something that you've been spoken to about or said to yourself. But many times in life, it's about remembering the things that God has said, remembering the things that God has done. We live in a generation that's always looking for something new, that's always looking for a fresh something. My children were asking for a tablet for a couple of years. We bought them both a tablet. A day later, they want a mobile phone. They're not getting one for a long time, but they want one. They're always looking for something else. Spiritually, we can be like that. We're always looking for a fresh word in order to be able to move forward. Lord, have you ever said this? Lord, if you just do this for me, I will have a whole different type of praise for you. If you just do this in my life, I will give more than I've ever given. Praise more than I've ever praised. If you just give me a breakthrough, wait to see what I will do for you. Sometimes we're always asking God for something when we've already been given it. He's already placed it in our life. He's already given us the authority. When Jesus spoke to the apostles, it wasn't just for the 12. It wasn't just for the 70. It wasn't just for the small community. It was a promise to you and I today that He has given you and I the authority. He speaks to Jeremiah, and He says to Jeremiah, "I've ordained you a prophet to the nations." And Jeremiah says, "Not me, I'm too young." And He says, "I've appointed you to pull down and to build up. I've given you the authority to call things into existence and to pull down those things that oppose you and oppose God." We have to remember this morning what it is that God has done, to be reminded of what it is that we have at our disposal. Peter says in his letter to the people, he says, "So I will always remind you," 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, "I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body." This morning is a reminder to us that we don't need to wait for anything else for God. right now, but we can walk in the authority he's given us. Don't get me wrong, God will do more. God will bless more. God will provide. But as long as we realize what it is that God has put at our disposal, we are able to be the people that God has called us to be. You see, when we remember who God is, when we remember what God has done, and when we remember how he's worked in our lives, where he's brought you from, when you remember what you used to be like before God called your name, before God put his hand on your life, then there's four things I want to quickly mention this morning that take place in our lives when we learn to remember what God has done. How many people this morning, no matter what your life might have looked like walking in here, you can remember a time that God has been faithful. You can remember a time that God has spoken. It might seem a long time ago. It might seem like it's not happened recently. But when you remember, when you focus, you can know that God is good and faithful. The first thing that happens in our life when we learn to remember the things of God and who he is that it keeps us humble. Deuteronomy 6, verse 10 and 12. We're going to be looking at a few scriptures today. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 and 12 says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and you are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. You know, sometimes when you've been serving God for a while, it's easy to forget what you used to be like. It's easy to forget what it was to walk without hope. And you, when you walk into a church like this, you're blessed. The worship is amazing. You get greeted. Hopefully, you get all of these things that take place. You get people that speak to you, people that will pray with you. You get a suit, a dress, you get your makeup, you get whatever it might be. And it's easy then to forget where God brought you from, what he did in your life. We cannot become a people that have forgotten how God has blessed us. We can't become a people that think that it was our own wisdom that got us to where we are today. It's only by the grace of God. The second thing that remembering does is it keeps you grateful. Psalms 103, verse 2. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I thank God today for all that he has blessed me with. My family, my church, my friends, that he has blessed us. Do I have everything I want? No. But we heard Pastor Paul last week as well, or the week before, when he said, God's not going to give you everything you pray for. He'll give you what you're ready for. And so I thank God as well for the things he hasn't given me. I thank God for the prayers he didn't answer. Because some of those prayers that I throw up sometimes, I thank God that he doesn't always say yes. How many people can thank God he's not said yes to you every time you prayed? Because some of you prayed for that man, God didn't say yes, and you better thank God he didn't say yes. Some of you prayed for that woman and God didn't say yes. You better thank God he didn't give you that woman. You see, sometimes God doesn't give you what you want. He gives you what you need. He gives you what you're ready for. Keeps you humble. It keeps you grateful. Thirdly, it keeps you compassionate. Leviticus 19, verse 33 and 34 says, when a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. When you remember what God has done, you don't exalt yourself, but you humble yourself. You remember what it was like to be hurting. You remember what it was like to be alone. You remember how patient God was with you. So he gives you patience with the people around you. You remember how much God has forgiven you, so you learn to forgive the people around you. How many people need a bit more patience sometimes? Need to be a bit quicker to forgive? Well, sometimes we just need to remember how much God has done in our lives, and we'll learn to do that in other people around us. And lastly, not only does remembering God and what he has done keep you humble, not only does it keep you grateful, not only does it keep you compassionate, but it makes you powerful. 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul says this, Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies that were once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. You know, the best way to fight is to remember the promises of God, is to remember what God has spoken to you. You can use all the emotion you want. You can use all the different words you want. You can use every piece of energy you have. You can pray for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can fast for 41 days. You can do whatever you need to do. But if you cannot recall the promises that God has given you, the battle will be more difficult than it needs to be. We need to be able to recall the words that God has spoken to us, the promises that he's given us. And if you don't have a specific promise, my friend, there are many promises in the word of God, that he never forsakes the righteous, that he sets free those who search after him, that he brings healing. God is a God who will always fulfill his promises. Remembering keeps us humble, grateful, compassionate, and powerful. And this message this morning is a reminder to remember what God has done and what he's given us. You see, there are some things in life that God has given you and I stewardship over. You and I have stewardship over certain things that God has placed in our life. There are certain things that have the power to bring life and death. There are certain things in your possession this morning that have the ability to build up or to tear down. And it all depends on what you and I do with it. And this goes back to the beginning of creation. In Genesis 2, verse 4 and 5, we see it begin like this. This is the account of the heavens and the earth. When they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, it says, now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up. And this is why. For the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one yet to work the ground. You see, God does his part, but you and I have to do ours. But when we want to see the promises of God fulfilled, it's not a passive waiting for a delivery to your house, waiting for something to be installed at your home. There's a partnership with God to say that what you have placed within my domain, I will be a steward over. You see, many things work like that. Money works like that. Money in itself is not evil, but what you do with it, how you treat it and how you see it, has the ability to either build life or to destroy life. The tongue is like money. Technology has the same. Technology can either bring healing and restoration to lives or it can destroy lives. Sex has the same ability to either kill or to build life. And the same thing is with our tongue this morning. And our question we have to answer before God is not so much do I speak bad things or good things, but do I know how to speak life in every situation? Do I know how to speak life to people that are going through tough times? Do I know how to speak life when things around me are going crazy? The Bible says about Abraham that he called the things that weren't as if they were. And against all hope, in hope, he believed. It's about having a tongue that brings life. You see, I'm an 80s child. I was born in the 80s. For me, best decade. Best films, best music, all of that. How many 80s kids have we got? That officially means you're the same age as me as well. Even if you're born in 1989, I was born in 82, you're the same age as me. All right? Because some people think I'm old. But I was born in the 80s. You see, you know what? The 80s was a good decade. So were the others, but I'm going to talk about the 80s. In the 80s, MTV was launched. In the 80s, the first PC was launched. In the 80s, the first mobile phone was launched. It was a brick, it was huge, but it was launched. In the 1980s, the Berlin Wall was pulled down. In the 1980s, we were introduced to Thriller by Michael Jackson. In the 1980s, you had groups like Run DMC, Public Enemy. I'm not saying I listened to them, but they changed and transformed music. You had certain films. You had Back to the Future. You had The Terminator. You had Karate Kid. Those are better than Avengers and Marvel and Twilight and all of these movies. You had proper movies, proper storylines, Not so much graphics, but you had good movies. But there's one movie that for me stands above the rest, and that was Gremlins. If you ever see Gremlins, you get a picture of it right here. Put that picture up if you got it on the media. Hopefully you have it. There you go. That, my friend, is Gizmo. Now, Gizmo was a cute little pet that someone brought home. Looked good, sounded good, looked all cute, had the eyes, had the little paws, had everything. It looked good, sounded good, felt good. But the thing about Gizmo is that there was three things you couldn't give him. Because if you exposed him to any of these three things, all craziness would take place. You couldn't expose him to the light, you couldn't get him wet, and you couldn't never feed him after midnight. And if any of those three things happened, he'll begin to spawn out all these little gremlins, all these little troublemakers, all these little things that would go crazy. But you see, the truth is that sometimes our tongue is like that. Sometimes when it gets exposed to the wrong things, it causes trouble. Sometimes when it gets exposed to the wrong things, it doesn't produce life, but it produces death. And I want to speak this morning for the next few minutes about three things that we need to expose our tongue to. About three things that we need to feed our tongue with in order to be people that bring life and not death. We're going to speak about giving our tongue a pure heart, giving our tongue the word of God, and giving our tongue godly relationships. When you expose yourself to those three things, in any situation, you will see the possibilities. In any circumstance, you will praise God. In any condition, you will give him glory. When you have a pure heart, when you're feeding on the word of God, and when you're surrounded with godly relationships. The first one is a pure heart. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus says very simply, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Or let me say it in a different translation. It says, "From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Our heart is the foundation of our life. Your prayer life is not the foundation. Your prayer life is what happens for you to keep a pure heart. The word of God is not even the foundation. The foundation is your heart, because it's out of your heart spring the issues of life. And when we pray and we study and we fast and we're in community, it's those things that give us a pure heart to serve God with. The way I see it is, I'm not really into cars that much. My wife likes cars more than me. But I don't really understand them many times. Even when someone's blocking someone in the car park, you ever been blocked in? Even when someone's getting blocked in, someone will tell me to come and identify the car. I'll have to go up to the back of it, look at the title, write down this. Someone else can just take a look and they know what car it is straight away. But I want you to imagine your favorite car. My wife's is a BMW 5 Series. So I'm still working on that one. I'm still quite near the beginning of working on that one. But it's coming. I want you to picture your perfect car. I want you to picture it the color you want it. It's decked out in the interior. It's rimmed out. It's got the windows you want. It's got your own number plate. It's got whatever it is that you want your car. I can't even use the language. It's got wheels. It's got whatever your perfect car is, it's got it, all right? It's the chairs are heated, whatever that's called as well. Whatever it is, I want you to picture your perfect car. Sounds good, looks good, feels good when you sit in it, looks good when you stroke the front, you even name your car. Whatever it is, how many people named their first car? There's quite a few people. You know, so you've got your perfect car. It goes from 0 to 80 in a couple of seconds. It looks good, sounds good, feels good. You put your foot down on the accelerator. Problem is, it doesn't go nowhere. Why? It looks good, sounds good, feels good. Problem is, you've not released the handbrake. You see, when you don't release the handbrake, no matter how good your car sounds, no matter how good it looks, it's not going anywhere. And that's many things like our life. We can look good, sound good, and make all the right noises, but unless you release something, you're not going to go where God's called you to go. Sometimes something needs releasing from our life. Sometimes we need to release something to God, because otherwise you'll make all the right noises, you'll make all the right sounds, but you'll still be in the same place you were a year ago or 2 years ago, because you've not released what needs to be released. And I want to let you know today, with the heart, the Bible says you've got to guard your heart. Now, see, this is a thing I learned a long time ago. Guarding your heart, you can never stop yourself getting hurt, but you can stop yourself staying hurt. You can stop yourself living hurt. You can stop yourself walking hurt. Sometimes you need to guard your heart. It doesn't mean that you keep people out. It just means that you keep Christ in. You keep him at the center. You keep him in the midst of it. You see, sometimes, some of us today, we've got to release something so that we can begin to go to the places that God has called us to go. Otherwise, all you're going to be doing is just painting the exterior, revving the engine, doing all of these things, polishing the rims. I think that's the right one. Whatever you're going to be doing. But unless you release something, you're going to stay in the same place. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Many times we end up putting our hope in the promise instead of the promise giver. Many times we put our hope in the healing instead of the one who heals. Sometimes we put our hope in the provider, in the provision, rather than the provider. And when we put our hope in the wrong areas, that's when our heart gets sick. When we put our hope in the wrong people, that's when our heart gets sick. You see, sometimes in life, the journeys and seasons get difficult. They get tiring. We can get weary. But when we put our trust in, the Bible says, is the anchor of our soul, is the immutability of God, that he is unchanging. Hebrews 5, we put our hope in this, that the one who has promised us will never change. That he is not a man that he will lie or repent, that he is faithful to his promises. You see, above all else, we're called to a person, not a position. If you look for the position, you might get it and find that you've lost a person in the process. But when you put your trust in a person, when you put your trust in him, then no matter what direction he takes you in, no matter who comes or goes from your life, your trust is in him, and he is the one who will keep you. There's a portion of scripture in Numbers chapter 22 that speaks many times about the enemy's plans and tactics in our life. And I'm going to give a quick backdrop to this story. The children of Israel were on their way to the promised land. They settled just outside the promise. They settled in their great numbers, many of them. Some people estimate up to 2 million of them. And they settled outside a city. And the king of that city that they settled outside of began to become afraid of the children of Israel. In Numbers chapter 22 to 24, if you don't believe in a supernatural, this scripture will mess your head up. But we believe in a supernatural. Because in this scripture, you've got donkeys talking, you've got angels with swords, and you've got all types of stuff. But it's an encouragement to us. And what happens is this king of Moab becomes afraid of the children of Israel. In Numbers chapter 22, we're going to read a couple of verses. It says this in verse 1. Then the Israelites traveled to the plains of Moab and camped along the Jordan across the Jericho. Now Balak, son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was terrified because there were so many people. Indeed, Moab was filled with dread because of the Israelites. And the Moabites said to the elders of Midian, "This horde is going to lick up everything around us, as an ox licks up the grass off the field." So Balak, son of Zippor, who was the king of Moab at the time, sent messengers to summon Balaam, son of Beor, who was at Pethor, near the Euphrates River in his native land. And this is what King Balak said to Balaam. "A people has come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the land and have settled next to me. Now come and put a curse on these people, because they are too powerful for me. Perhaps then I will be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that whoever you bless is blessed, and whoever you curse is cursed." You see, the king of Moab became afraid of the people of God because of what he saw God was doing in their life. And many times that's how the enemy works in your life and my life. When we begin to go through tests, when we begin to go through warfare, when we begin to go through challenges, it's not because you've done something wrong. Many times it's because you're doing something right. It's because you're pushing forward. And scripture shows us time and time again that when you are praising, when you are praying, when you are pursuing God's promises over your life, there will be opposition. There will be temptation. There will be distraction. But what happens is when you continue to push forward, don't be discouraged when you face opposition. Don't be discouraged when haters try to take you down. Don't be discouraged when people try to discourage you. Because the truth is that many times opposition comes when you're getting closer to your promise. See, I don't think we're getting it. Many times the warfare increases when you're getting closer to the land that God has given you. Let me say this. The devil is not all-powerful. The devil is not all-knowing. The devil is not all-present. But what he has is experience. And sometimes he sees faith and it reminds him of some people that had faith and began to take lands. And he sees that same faith in you and he begins to dial up the pressure. Sometimes he hears praise and he's reminded, hold on a sec, I heard that praise with Daniel. I heard that praise with Paul, and he dials up the pressure. Has anyone in here today got some praise or some faith that's going to cause the devil sometimes to turn up the pressure? But that's okay. That's okay because you're still going towards your promise. You see, the devil doesn't need to mess with those who are messing themselves up. But he will mess with those who are going to cause damage to him and his camp. So if you're going through warfare, if there's madness breaking out in your home, if your praise has got difficult, just know that he's afraid of you. Don't need to be afraid of him. My mum used to say to me when I saw big spiders, they're more afraid of you than you are of them. Don't change. If I've got eight legs, I don't care about that statement. That didn't help me. But the truth is this morning is that throughout scripture, every time there's about to be a move of God in someone's life, every time there's about to be a move of God in a church, every time there's about to be a move of God in your family, every time there's about to be a move of God in your city, the pressure will get turned up because the devil wants to thwart what God wants to do. It happened to David. 2 Samuel 5:17. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. Some of us have had that full force recently. Some of us have had that full release. Some of us have had that full challenge, but yet we are still sitting here, we're still standing here, and we're still moving forward. When things get difficult, keep doing what it is that God called you to do. The worst thing you can ever do is quit doing what God called you to do. Sometimes the seasons get hard. We look at Jesus in Gethsemane, when he literally prayed to the point of sweating blood. And he said, Lord, if there is any other way of doing this, then let it be. But not my will, but your will be done. Jesus didn't pull out his mobile phone and text the apostles and say, you know what, guys, this savior lark is really difficult. Could someone else go to the cross for me, please? He didn't look to anyone else to take up his responsibility. He took up his own cross. He didn't make a little phone call and say, guys, things are hard right now. Can someone else carry the cross for me? He understood what he had to do. And let me say this. Let me just expose one myth. Not every single season you go through is going to be joyful. The Bible says, that's what we do sometimes in James, consider all things pure joy. And I get that. But the Bible says about Jesus that he endured the cross. He didn't enjoy it. He endured it. Jesus endured what he endured for me and you. I'm going to say this. Jesus endured what he endured for you and me. Some of you, us, we can't even endure someone not saying hello when we get upset. Some of us can't even endure a bill through our letterbox before we want to quit. If Jesus could endure the cross, How much more should we be able to respond to God and say, we'll endure whatever we have to go through? And you know what? This is the thing. Some of us, we stop short because we're waiting for the feeling of joy instead of waiting for the discipline of perseverance. The discipline of endurance. The discipline of character. And we're waiting for the moment and the feeling. And as long as you wait for the moment and feeling, my friend, it will come and it will go. But it's perseverance and character that will keep you. The last thing I want to say about this with our heart. Have you ever, how many people got a phone contract? Like you do like the, you ever waited to upgrade your phone? You know when you get fed up with a phone you have, I used to do this. And so you'd call up the mobile phone provider and you'd be like, how long till I've got an upgrade? I want my new phone, how long till I've got an upgrade? And they'd be like, oh, Mr. Hunter, you're a loyal customer and all that good stuff. And then they would say, you know what? You're entitled to an upgrade at such and such a time, the end of your contract. But if you want to get the upgrade before your contract's finished, you got to pay a price. Now, see, sometimes the seasons of God work like that in our life. If you want to get out of your season before it's finished, you're going to pay a price for it. You're going to lose something. It's going to cost you something. But if you see that season through to the end, if you're praising till that last moment, if you're worshiping, if you're still discipling and serving and building, till that season has finished, my friend, you will get your upgrade. You will get that breakthrough. You'll get that anointing. You'll get that power. But a lot of the time, we try to end the season too quickly. And because we end it too quickly, we lose something in the process. When you want that season to stop, my friend, you could probably get it to stop. But don't complain when there's not as much power working through your life. Don't complain when there's something missing from that character that God was shaping. Not because he wanted to just have you a certain way, but because he was preparing you for the next season he was about to bring you into. So if you want to go into the next season, my friend, learn how to stand in this season, be faithful in this season, keep giving in this season, and God will give you that upgrade. We have to keep our hearts pure. The second thing, I'm going to speed through these last 2 points. The second thing is not only does our tongue need a pure heart, but our tongue needs the word of God. We have to continue to be people that study and pray and search the word of God for our lives. Joshua 1, 7 to 9 says this, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. We need to be a people that study the word of God. The Bible is not just the words of man. The Bible is not just encouraging words. The Bible is not just nice words to make us feel better. The scriptures tell us that the word of God is able to transform our lives. And how many of us in here today would say that sometimes you struggle to study the word? Maybe just me. I will stand up here and say very clearly, sometimes it's not always easy. But one thing I would say this morning is that we're not primarily meant to study the word just to learn. We're meant to study the word to change, to grow, to be transformed. And there's certain keys to studying the word of God, and that's one of them, that we need to feast and eat and take care with how we study the scriptures. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1 to 4 says this, as God gave Ezekiel a vision, he was going to send him to the people of Israel. And the vision was this in Ezekiel 3, 1 to 4. He said to me, son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll, then go and speak to the people of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he gave me the scroll to eat. And then he said to me, son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you and fill your stomach with it. So I ate it and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. And he said to me, son of man, Go now to the people of Israel and speak my words to them. I wonder how many times, but because we don't discipline ourselves to study the Bible, what we really give people is our opinion. What we really give people is our experiences. Maybe we go into a relationship, or we go into a new church, or whatever it might be, and because we have not surrendered ourselves to the scriptures, we end up feeding people with our emotions. We end up feeding people with our opinions. And no matter how wise you might be, my friend, your opinion would never have changed my life, and mine wouldn't have changed yours. My emotions are not going to take me where God wants to take me. It is the Word of God. And without the Word of God in our life, all we have is our emotions and our opinions. That's all we have. All we have is our qualifications, our emotions, and our opinions. And what we really need is the Word of God. We need to commit our lives to sitting with the Scriptures, whether by ourselves or in community together at the church, and searching God's Word to know what He says to our lives. We need our tongue to be fed by the Word of God. And lastly, not only do we need to feed our tongue with a pure heart, not only do we need to feed it with the Word of God, but we need to feed it with godly relationships. You may have heard it said that every person is about an average of the five people they spend the most time with. So my question this morning is, who is it that is our influence? Who is it that continues to influence us and teach us and lead us? But we need to be a people that are continually building new relationships. Fresh, if our circle 5 years ago is the same as it was today, there's something wrong. We need to continually be developing and sowing into fresh and new relationships in our life. I thank God that 20 years ago, when I walked into this ministry, that someone didn't just look at me and say, boy, I hope he makes it. They invested in me. They didn't just throw a Bible at me and say, go and read that. They didn't just look at me and say, boy, I wonder if he's going to have the commitment or character to make it. But even when I was low, they picked me up. Even when I was doubting, they picked me up. And still to this day now, I have people in my life that see more for me than I see for myself. Sometimes I have people in my life that believe for me, even when I'm struggling to believe for myself. You have to have those people in your life that are committed to you, even when you're down. So you've got three types of thinkers. You've got the abundant thinkers, you've got the realistic thinkers, and you've got the negative thinkers. And you need people in your life that think abundantly. You need people in your life that think about the possibilities, that look at you and say, this is what is possible. Someone that you can partner with and say, you know what? I want to walk with you. I want to stand with you. I want to pray with you. We need those people in our life. You see, when we surround ourselves with the wrong people, no matter how good our intentions are, we end up struggling. I learned this and I heard this, and I think it's such a key statement, is that people will always take from you that which they've not learned to cultivate in their own life. In other words, if someone's not learned to cultivate faith, they'll try and take yours. If people have not learned to cultivate joy, they'll try and take your joy. If people have not tried and cultivated unity, they'll try and separate you. You see, people will always seek to take from you that which they've not learned to build and establish in their own lives. And I'm not really a believer in Facebook cleanses where you get rid of all the haters and you do all this type of thing. I thank God that Jesus didn't turn around to me and say, I'm getting rid of all my children that have messed up or that don't do me nothing. I don't really believe in that. I'm not really a fan of that. You know what? I'm going to get rid of everybody that doesn't do anything for me. I don't think that's what Jesus taught. Jesus said it's better to give than it is to receive. But what Jesus did teach was that you need to know who you're spending time with. You need to know how much time to spend with them. I want to finish with this as we stand to our feet. Even Jesus exemplified this. There was times when Jesus went to the mountain and would pray by himself. And there's some moments in your life where it's only you and God. There was times and moments where Jesus had the crowds, where Jesus had the 70. There's times and moments where Jesus had the 12. But one thing I noticed one time, is that when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, the toughest moment of his life, the part of his life where he came to a crossroads, Jesus didn't take the crowd with him. Jesus didn't take the 70. Jesus didn't even take the 12. He took three, and he exposed his heart to those three. My question this morning is, who are you exposing your heart to? Who are you sharing the innermost parts of your life with? Because even Jesus, at that point of surrender, knew there was only certain people he wanted around him. We want to be a people that speak life, that see life, that believe life. And it's not good enough just waking up with positive thinking and saying, today I'm going to encourage everybody. That's good, but the truth is, it can only happen with a pure heart, with the word of God, and when you walk with the right people. And this morning, as we're going to respond, the worship team are going to lead us for a moment. We're going to make a commitment to one of those three things. Maybe today, maybe your heart, there needs to be something released. Maybe you need to come back to the word of God and begin to study it again. Or maybe today you say, you know what, I need to commit myself to discipleship, to fellowship, to community. Well, there's an opportunity this morning to respond. As a worship team leaders, I want us to lift our hands all across this place and just begin to worship him. Just begin to say, Lord, whatever it is that you've said to me today, Lord, I want to respond to that.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. or go to vomanchester.org for more information.